Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're standing by for Steven. Steven Jones is going to join us, the Cowboys COO. We've already heard from Jason Garrett. He had an extra appearance with Sean and RJ. He agreed to come on this morning and was perhaps more transparent than usual, for sure. Then Jerry Jones was on with KNC Masterpiece, made a ton of national headlines. And we're going to talk with Steven here, probably coming up in the next 10, 12
okay.
minutes.
Can I throw out a topic for you guys?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with Dak Prescott?
That's a good question. Last night he made – it's weird because
– He wasn't good on Thanksgiving either.
I'm going through that game last night, and as I'm watching it, there's a third and eight. There's a third and 11. There's all these different plays where he makes really good throws and converts it. But when you're talking about just over the course of the game consistently, it's behind guys. It's miscommunications. It made me
– Not pre-reading the defense correctly.
It made me kind of rethink my – Hey, Jeff, are you sure you want to blow that trumpet too hard about Dak Prescott's a top five quarterback in the league? And he has not looked that way the last couple of weeks. So I don't know the answer, but I agree with you that the last couple of weeks he has not looked like one of the best players on the team.
I don't know if he's a top five quarterback. I feel like he's very comfortably going to be a top 10 quarterback. But what we're dealing with right now is a mysterious realm in pro sports where it's a team's mojo. And these things are kind of intangible, right? And this guy's playing not ideal. That guy. You know, there's an energy around the team, and it has an individual impact on everybody's psyche on the team as far as their own personal confidence. But, you know, over the entire team, you know, it starts to – and what's really weird about the last two games, they score on the opening drive in back-to-back games for the first time in a long time. I think it's been like the last 4 or 5 years. Okay. This doesn't usually happen.
We're balling.
So for whatever reason, now they're able to focus all of their energy on that first drive, but then everything else goes to pot.
Yeah.
You know, so there's an awkwardness, there's an out of sync, and in a lot of other sports, you can go through this over a month and be like, wow, that was a bad month. But if it happens in football, your season is toast. And so I don't know if you can individually evaluate a player like Dak Prescott when so much weirdness is going around him. Okay, but joining us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, is the Cowboys COO, Steven Jones. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
Hey, doing good.
Right on. It sounded like Jerry was pretty fired up this morning, frustrated maybe. How's it been over the last 16 hours, falling under 500 for the first time this year?
Well, I didn't hear his interview, so I couldn't speak to that. But, not the kind of football we expect to be playing until we go out and we win a football game. That's the only way we're going to change this narrative.
Dak and Zeke after the game both said something along the lines of they can't put their finger on what's wrong with the team. Can you?
No, we're not executing. I mean, I can put it on it. We're just not executing when we need to. We're not, playing the type of defense that we need to play to win football games. We're not executing on offense when we need to win football games. And we're certainly not executing on special teams when we need to. That's been going on for the last 11 days. We can't let that define us. And until we go out and we execute and we win a football game, then the narrative will be the same. Got all the confidence in the world we can do that. I know a lot of people don't, but in-house we do.
Steven, when it comes to tackling, how much of it is the kind of technical tackling the right way and doing everything what you're taught, and how much of it is the effort of just wanting to make the tackle?
I just think it's all the above. These guys have all, that wouldn't be out there playing, have all been good tacklers in the past. Sometimes it can be the player that you're tackling. And, as you said, also, you know, got to be the will and the want to and the effort to get there as well. So there's a lot of things that go on to getting guys on the ground. And while some guys make more this week than others, they're good at avoiding getting tackled. And while some guys make more in this week than others, too, in terms of defense, they tackle better than others. So it's just a matter of us, you know, continuing to get back to work, and we've got to go out and win a football game.
Do you guys have more plans to work out kickers over the weekend?
Not going to comment on any workouts we might have.
Okay. I want to ask it this way then, and this is really not a shot at your player in any way, shape, or form, but, like, I understand how hard it is to play quarterback, so, like, there's not 32 good quarterbacks. That makes sense. It's really, really hard. But it seems like it's hard for the NFL to find 32 good kickers. Do you have any theories as to why?
Well, as you can imagine, that guy sitting out there, you know, not unlike a quarterback when his opportunity comes, especially when, not that easier kicks, tight games, and you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than just being a good kicker. It's an inert system, it's mental state, it's everything. You see guys go along and they're great kickers all periods of time, and then they start to struggle. Like a golfer is putting, like a shortstop going into first base. It's there for everybody to see. Some boys, some guys just have that nervous system and play through all that, and at some point if you start to miss a couple, some people let it start to creep in, and some people are able to overcome it.
Stephen Jones with us here on The Fan. Is it a consensus inside the front office that retaining the head coach is the best thing for the team right now?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, you broke up there?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think this team has a leadership or confidence issue? Is there, you know, a mindset or confidence things kind of hampering this team?
I think any time you're not having success, out of the struggles we've had over the last three games, everything is looked at. Everybody has a hand in it. Organizational fault at this point in terms of not being able to win the game over the last 11 days. Everybody needs to look in the mirror and look at their leadership skills, look at the way they're playing, look at the way they're coaching, we're managing, and have to do a better job. I don't know.
All right, Steve. We appreciate the time, sir. We really do. I think we're having a little bit of an issue with the connection, but we hope you have a great weekend, and we look forward to discussing things further with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Right, you bet you. Take care. There he goes, Cowboy COO Stephen Jones. He's usually getting out of town when he joins us, and maybe he's gotten out of a prime cell phone area by the time we were able to pick up our conversation with him. But, it's a little bit unfortunate, but he did his best.
So the word execute has come up a lot with this team. It came up again with Stephen Jones in the interview, the things that I could actually understand what he was saying because of the bad connection. I can't execute against the American League All-Star team. I can't execute when I pitch. Just going, for example, if I was facing the best team in the National League at the time, I would struggle. I would give up 4 to 6 runs in 3 to 5 innings because I couldn't just out-execute them. I wasn't good enough. I had to try to do something almost out of the ordinary to do it because talent-wise, I was at a deficit because I wasn't very good, and usually the best hitting teams were better than I was on the mound. It took a really good pitcher to usually get them off their game. When they keep saying execute, the only thing that I can think of, and I don't know if it's just a cliche word they're using and they don't even really care to really, you know, diagnose it, but execute to me is you can only execute and win if you have as much talent as the other team or more talent on the other team.
Yeah, or sometimes it's 50-50, right? Sometimes you're about in that ballpark and you show
right.
up
it has
and
to
win.
Be,
yeah.
It has to be the same. It has to be the same talent or better talent to just say, all I have to do is execute and I will win the battle.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's two different conversations. One of them is you need to be coaching more to get an advantage. This is the NFL. It's not college football. I think that's one of them. But from their perspective, I think what they're saying is, damn, we've built a really, really good team, and I don't know if it's the coaching or the players, but they should play up to what we all know they are. Like, this whole idea that they're not good enough or we overrated them, that is the biggest load of malarkey I think I've heard throughout this entire football season of bad takes. This team is certified good. They've had a championship window open for 5 years. They just won last year, and then they made their roster better. Like, if you know, I get it. You need to execute better, but it's not because the talent's not there. I think there's something going on with this talent, whether it's nervousness, lack of confidence, bad coaching, whatever it is, that's putting superior talent in position to fail.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the signs of a poorly coached team. And you can go to Jason Garrett, but it has to go beyond Jason Garrett.
Absolutely.
Because when we were talking about specifically yesterday's game, if a team is throwing to tight ends who are barely hanging on to NFL roster spots and they're making 30-yard gains because people are missing tackles. And think about this. Here's one that drove me nuts. Cordarrelle Patterson is one of the best return men. He's probably the best return man in NFL history. So when he has the football, he's dangerous, right?
Very.
When he comes on the field as a wide receiver, it's rare.
Yeah.
If it happens, they're going to get him the ball. Hmm. That's why he's out there. Because they know he's not a good receiver. He's not a good route runner. He doesn't have good hands. But they're going to find a way to get him the ball to see what he can make happen.
Well, he can make three guys miss in a very short space.
Yeah, I did laugh pretty hard on that one. That was just funny to me because of how poor we are at tackling, and our effort at tackling is just like, we don't care.
But my point is, so when Cordarrelle Patterson steps off the sideline and onto the field,
yeah,
your team should immediately call some sort of defense that makes sure whoever is over him is right in front of him, and whoever is going to be helping that is playing close to the line of scrimmage. Like, you don't let it be easy to give a return man the football. That's insanity. And then, like, Mitch Trubisky is shaking Xavier Woods in the open field. Like, that's an individual player failing, but this is a Monday through Friday thing, and it is that you are not coaching your players up to play because they're better players than that. They are.
I'm 100% with you, because those are the details when you talk to people like Jesse Hawley, who got to play for Bill Belichick and play for Jason Garrett, that we don't do here in Dallas. We don't believe in that type of detailed type of practicing. What we're going to do is we're going to run our base stuff, and we're going to be great at it where they just can't do anything against us because we're just better than the other team in front of us. If we had details like that in practice of, we're going to now work 20 minutes with Cordarrelle Patterson packages, and we are going to now press on these situations, so everybody, all 11 guys on the field know, we press him hard because he's coming in to probably catch some
sort
of screen.
He's coming in to run a screen.
Right.
That's what he's here for.
It's just
or reverse.
Like, who is the dude that we'd always just bring in to run a reverse?
Lucky Whitehead,
Tavon
Austin.
Yeah, and Dwayne Harris. I mean, you knew when he was coming in the game, as soon as he went in motion two steps, you knew what we were doing. Now, sometimes we'd fake it, but I mean, the other team finally caught up to you. All they're going to do is hand it to him for a reverse. He's on the field for one thing and one thing only.
Do you guys feel like it's possible they're missing Leighton Vander Esch and Jeff Heath more than we've sort of wanted to believe?
Yes, but I do think the bigger problem is what Mike was just talking about. Like, Troy Aikman went back to that well like four times during the broadcast. If you want a young quarterback to look good, play defense like the Cowboys do. If they line up, they're going to show you exactly what they're in. You're going to know what they're in, which makes your pre-snap read easy and your post-snap read easy. It's up to your players to be better than their players. That's how you're going to stop their offense.
Yeah.
So the quarterback knows where he's going to go with the football, and suddenly young quarterbacks can look good. Sam Darnold, same thing.
Yeah.
You show me what you're going to do when we line up. Whew! This
and
is fun.
It's fine as long as you're playing with your hair on fire and flying to the football.
Yes.
But we've made quarterbacks that going into that game, and I've taken advantage of Jeff on this, is that is that when you're like, oh, our quarterback's way better, is we've made Sam Darnold look great this year. We made Josh Allen look great this year. We just made Mitch Trubisky look great. Like, those three games. Jeff Driscoll looked great. I will say, in that game, at least Dak looked better than Driscoll.
Right.
But in those three other games, Gavin, if you're talking about who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, just watching those individual games, you would say, their quarterback is better.
Right.
That Sam Darnold's better than Dak Prescott if you just watched that game. If you just watched last night on Thursday Night Football, you'd be like, the dude that should be talking about getting $35 million a year is the Bears quarterback, not the Cowboys quarterback.
All right, we're live at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield every Friday and Saturday. Fat Daddy's DJ Trainwreck spins some great tunes out on their huge patio. Whether you want to chill or dance the night away, they've got you covered here at Fat Daddy's. Amazing food and Nathan's hot dogs, the ultimate Frito pie, Irish nachos, loaded fries and tots. It's a great place to hang out. We'll be here all the way until 7 o'clock. If you're getting out of work and you're anywhere in the area, we'd love to see you stop by. Great time to get some Cowboys gear, okay? We're giving it away, you know? Yeah.
That's why we're giving it away today. Yeah, the value's gone down, so we're giving away Cowboy gear.
No doubt. We got a whole bunch of it. Just see Steven. He'll get you signed up to win that. Pick up a Tolo back window decal. You about to give some more away right now, Steven? Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
About to do a drawing, give away Cowboys gear. Trust me, you're going to want it. Okay, you might be talking to, I don't want no Cowboy. Yeah, you do. You want a free Cowboy hat and a free Cowboy shirt. They're going to win again before the season's over, probably.
I think they might win a game.
Yeah.
There's
going to be very proud.
Keep your eye this weekend on Washington. If Mike's right, if they take down the Packers,
that'll be so awesome.
They're in prime position to win this division at 6-10.
Okay, when we come back, Fish is back from Chicago. We're about to talk with Mike Fisher. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live here in Mansfield at Fat Daddy's enjoying some delicious pizza. And we are about now to find out what's coming up with Mike Fisher. At Fish Sports joins us. Got a big weekend for the Mavericks. They're going to have another early game tomorrow, 1 o'clocker. Plus, how the Cowboys recover from their second three-game losing streak. You know, when the season started, I would have, you know, listen to a pick of 13-3 for the year. Oh, yeah, three losses? Sure, I could see that happening. How about 2 3-game losing streaks in the same season and now 6-7 on the year? Segments brought to you by DFW Airport Parking, GetMortgageReady.com, and by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And Fish joins us now. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. How the heck are you, Fish?
Well, I'm not doing very well after that episode last night. That wasn't any fun for anybody. I look forward all day to our roundtable today. I'd like to invite RJ Choppy into our roundtable, who still, I keep getting text messages, he continues to neglect to pay our fee for the fans' fantasy league.
Oh, so he Choppy, pays, but you make the moves, huh?
I'm the brains of the operation. What else can he bring?
That's a fair deal.
$50.
Fish.
Yeah, that's very fair. Unless you look at our record. And then comes Jerry today on the Fan. Now, I think, Jeffrey, you and I have already spitballed this a little bit in our five-hour show prep meeting, the Fish Report show prep meeting. I think there's three reasons that Jerry went off that way. You ready?
Love it.
Reason number one, he really is miffed.
That dude is mad.
For real. And he was mad last week, and he was mad the week before that. And last night he was livid, and he's really upset. And, Jeffrey, I think you made the point. He might even said something about it, but, you know, he's also mad at himself. I mean, this is his fault, too. So there's that. There's also, number two, making sure that Cowboys Nation knows he's mad. And that's part of this. And I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying he's aware that he needs the audience to know that he's mad enough to view this as not satisfactory. Now, what we're going to do about it is a different issue, and how much he might be willing to sacrifice to do about it is a different issue. And then there's item number three, Jeffrey, and you can work with me on this. I think when he said the "Do you understand BS" comment to KNC, I think he's trying to say, I have to BS you guys sometimes because of what we're really doing in addition to temporary retaining of lame duck Jason Garrett. You dig me, Jeffrey?
100%. I believe the context of him saying the BS words was that I'm working at it, but it's called tampering, and so there's things I'm not allowed to say.
Wow, that's very important context.
Yeah, there'd be.
He
NFL
said it.
People.
He said if you're interested in somebody else's personnel, he said that's tampering. So, and then he said, do you guys know the meaning of the word BS? So what he's saying is we are actively working at things. However, we're not allowed to talk about them.
Yeah, and he's not talking about tampering to get Tom Brady.
Right.
He's talking about NFL employees there. So that's a good reason to have to say some BS. Here's another one. I also don't necessarily want to announce that I'm interviewing anybody yet. You know, I am trying to, he really is trying to win. Now, you noticed last night, he's not trying to win three games anymore. He's just trying to win one.
Yeah.
But they are, in theory, trying to win one. They're trying to do this with this head coach. And so he probably doesn't want to necessarily announce that he's interviewing, temporarily retired, iconic college coaches, or that he's interested in existing college coaches, or that he's interested in hotshot college assistants to be part of the future staff. None of it. So that's the BS. It wasn't just because Corey Majors is so full of BS, which he is.
No, case, look at you going after Corey. No,
he's a talk show host. Most of us are.
In this case,
time to time,
Gary's saying, I've got to BS you guys a little bit about what we're
Fish.
Can't talk about. That's the Kavanaugh-Fisher theory of the day.
How alarming is it that it went the same way as the Bills game? Two disappointing losses in a row, looked identical, scored first, and then got blown out.
Yeah. Now, considering the fact, and I haven't picked very many Cowboy games right this year, but considering the fact that I picked the Bears to win that game, 17-16, I would chalk it up, general, as saying not surprising, because I think their practices weren't chippy. I think their practices last week were crappy. I don't think they got in like good, healthy on-field fights at practice. I think they're having infighting in the building. That's not healthy. And so I think this is a very distracted roster, very distracted coaching staff, conflicts popping up here and there, very distracted building. And so now we're coming to discover that this is what the Cowboys really are, that the Cowboys against the Bills, looking exactly like they did against the Bears, identifies who they really are.
Yeah, man, that consistency, that is your character. What's the nature of the infighting? Can you share anything there?
I think the linebacker coach and the supposed star linebacker didn't see eye to eye. I think the top defensive assistant tried to intervene, and then they didn't see eye to eye. Then I think the organization tried to intervene, and they didn't see eye to eye. And the next thing you know, something that could have been really easily fixed. Hey, I'm the coach. I'm telling you what to do. I love you. Go do it. Instead, has kind of festered and spread. And, is it dissension? No, I guess not. Is it dysfunction? Yeah, certainly, because they didn't get it fixed, and now it lingers. And I think those little pockets now, they've lost how many? 7 of the last 10, right?
Yeah.
By the time you lose 7 of the last 10, now all your little pimples, all your little warts turn into hills and mountains, and that's happening too. It's happening with the kicker. Listen, this is a bad kicker. This isn't, well, he's bad, but he makes 60-yard kicks. If you're bad, but you make 60-yard kicks, you're bad. Because I don't need 60-yard kicks. I really don't. I need 37-yard kicks. And I was absolutely outraged at Brett Maher's comments last night in the locker room. You guys familiar with the pillow comments?
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like it. This is weirder and, quote, worse than when Tony Romo said, if losing a playoff game is the worst thing that ever happened to me, I'll have a good life. This is Brett Maher saying, yeah.
No, I said, does that go to what the supposedly star linebacker, when it comes to accountability, here's Brett Maher totally rejecting any accountability, obviously in his post-game talks. There's a linebacker resisting coaching. Is this that whole thing, coming to roost once again when it comes to Jason Garrett and the confrontations and how he deals with players that aren't hitting expectations?
What if it's a combination of how the coaching staff is failing to communicate and have attention to the detail? You might as well throw the starting defensive tackle with, four bags of junk in his car. Not junk like heroin, but four bags of crap, whatever it was. Might as well throw that on the list. But also, this organization, Gavin, it's not always up to the head coach to run it. Sometimes Sometimes it's up to the COO that gets involved with a player. Sometimes it's up to the president, owner, and general manager. And it's not that those things can't work. It's that when you've lost 7 of the last 10, they're not working. That's inarguable. So this isn't all on the head coach, although his red head will roll. But to Brett Maher, he says, I thought I hit the ball really well. I had a really good week. Everything's fine. When my head hits the pillow tonight, I'll sleep just fine. Son, what are you talking about? I couldn't figure out, Gavin, is he trying to be a Garrett guy with fake confidence? Is he trying to audition for his next job by saying, hey, listen, I don't know about you guys, but privately, I'm really kicking it well. Or is he whistling past the graveyard? All I know is I'm not a big believer in, hey, let's cut Kervin Richards to show the other players. But in the Garrett regime, they've never done it, to my knowledge. 8 and 10 years, they've never cut a player to make an example of him that I know of. This would be a time, especially since the player stinks.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a player, and like a lot of kickers or a lot of golfers, the psychology is very important, and I think the psychology might have been, you know, the reason that he wasn't looked at more seriously in the NFL out of college. He was a CFL guy. And listening to his quotes from the past, I think the reason he is asserting himself confidently is because he knows he has to do that so he doesn't go inside of his own head too much. You know, but that comes down to mental toughness and, I think, personnel evaluation. You don't want a kicker like that.
Maybe it adds to his confidence, his faulty confidence. When the Cowboys announce, first of all, this tryouts. We got a kicker. Then they say we are having tryouts. Then the tryouts they have were a facade. Those kickers aren't kickers, aren't NFL kickers. Joe Blow and Jim Blim and John Blom, they're Dallas Renegade kickers, literally.
At least bring in Carly Lloyd if you're going to be serious, right?
I give you Matt Bryant. You want to make a 37-yard kick? I will blindfold Matt Bryant, and he'll kick it with his wrong foot, and he'll do it better than Brett Maher. So Jerry today said, or in the last 24 hours said, you know, we had the kicker tryouts. And you didn't have kicker tryouts. It was a dog and pony show with little tiny ponies with little XFL legs.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Chicken legs on a kicker?
What I don't get about the Brett Maher thing, sorry, Fish, but this is the really confusing part. Yeah. Like, yeah, sure, you miss field goals. You've missed, I think, more than anybody in the league this year.
Anybody also, over the last 4 years now. With three games to go, he's missed more than anybody over the last four
seasons.
But
you also kicked a kickoff out of bounds. Like, how after the game
they were trying
are you
to
saying,
squib that, weren't they?
Right, but no. Well, the late one, they were trying to kick it off of a guy. But that one, he kicked it off, and they're probably trying to keep it away from Patterson. But if you kicked it out of bounds at the 2-yard line and you tell me that you every ball you hit, you thought you hit well, you're the worst kicker of all time if you thought you hit that well. You kicked it out of bounds.
Okay, yeah, and furthermore, and this is goes back to Alex Karras, you know, I keep the ball and making fun of kickers. But it is the way the real football players think. If the little tiny non-football player, after we do all this work, heavy lifting to plow down 80 yards, and then that guy blows it, it really does suck the wind out of you. So not only does he miss the field goal, but then that kick out of bounds. Jeffrey, what happened next?
They got it at the 40, and they went and scored, right?
Three plays, 60 yards, touchdown. And I think that might have been the Mitch Trubisky touchdown when four guys pretended to tackle him. Remember that one?
I remember Xavier Woods missing Mitch Trubisky in space, which is probably not a good thing.
So once now our kicker can't even kick the ball – Now the wind that we already don't have in beneath our sails, now it's all gone, and now we're fake tackling guys.
Well, you are the wind beneath our wings, Fish. We appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Beer me.
He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. The great Mike Fisher. Baseball Nuggets coming up next with Baskey.
We're going to talk with Jared Sandler and get a preview of the winter meetings. We better sign somebody next week.
Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. Check out that inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation, and we are live here at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield. Boy, this is the place to be. I mean, it has one of the best happy hours around. $2 wells, $2 domestic drafts, Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. That's our showtime. So every time the G-Bag Nation is on, it's happy hour at Fat Daddy's here in Mansfield. Come on and hang out with us. Blow off some steam. You know, you probably use it about now. Here's Mike with Nuggets.
Well, right before I get into baseball, I'm having a good time. I have some friends texting to me, and they're furious with the Cowboys. And I see it on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, too, and they're like, you know, and they think I'm going to go. And maybe I will go off today. Maybe
come on, Mike. When are you going to go off?
I've kind of quit the Cowboys, guys.
Impossible.
I am not invested right now. And I'll tell you this, Lucius, you're right, because I've tried to like other teams. I would like for Pat Mahomes to win the Super Bowl this year. It'd be cool if a Texas Tech quarterback won the Super Bowl. But it's not going to really do much for me. I'll be like, oh, that's cool. The Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the team I was rooting for on Super Bowl night. But it's not going to make me feel like, let's go party. This is unbelievable. My team did it. I'll just be like, all right, that's cool. Pat Mahomes did it. That's awesome for him. And I hope he becomes the greatest quarterback of all time somewhat. But it's just not going to really mean much to me. I've tried switching teams, and it doesn't really do much for me to start rooting for the Colts when they had Andrew Luck or now the Chiefs. I kind of am like, I hope they win. But there's no real passion behind rooting for another team. So to Jerry's point, or to, I don't know, I'll just do baseball Nuggets.
What? I'm about to, you were doing good, bro.
Guys, I'm about to crush Jerry again, and I'll get told, hey, don't call him names and stuff, even though he deserves to be called every
that
name.
Easy.
But so I'll go away from that, and I'll talk baseball. Do we have Jared Sandler ready to talk baseball? All right, Jared. Let's talk baseball for 10 minutes here, and we'll get back into the pathetic losing. Oh, I don't even care to try. Whoa. Overpaid.
Here it comes.
I'm just acting like I care, owner Jerry Jones,
relax.
Dallas Cowboys at 4 o'clock.
Relax.
Okay. Kyle Gibson is officially signed to the Texas Rangers. 3-year contract. I ask you, by the time I talk to you next Friday, will he still be the biggest signing the Rangers have made this offseason?
I will say yes, but it won't last that way for much longer. I'm never sure. You know, some years the winter meetings are ripe with signings. Other years it's just a bunch of rumors, and the signings don't happen until after. I'm going to go ahead and say yes. Actually, you know what? I'm talking myself into this. I think Anthony Rendon wants to move quickly. I think the Rangers sign Anthony Rendon next week while they're in San Diego, and Kyle Gibson will be the second biggest signing by next Friday. I do think, guys, that the Rangers will sign Anthony Rendon. I'm still confident about that, but I'm not sure the timing of it, because he's a Boris guy, and you never quite know with Boris guys.
Well, if Tolos have not heard, there is somewhat encouraging news coming out of the D.C. area, as Lerner, the owner of the Washington Nationals, has pretty much said, we can't sign both of them. We cannot sign Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon to the contracts they want and be able to financially do it. So that does give us a kind of encouragement on Rendon. I'll ask you this, Sandler. I don't think the Rangers have really any interest in Steven Strasburg. Do you know if the Rangers have any interest in Steven Strasburg?
Yeah, I don't think – I think they, you know, they obviously have interest in the player. I the sense I get is that if they were going to sign a big money pitcher, and let me rephrase, because Zach Wheeler was a guy they were interested in, and he's big money. But if they were going to go $30 million or north, I think it would be for Garrett Cole. But it just doesn't seem like you know, they're really in the running at this point. I think that they were willing to go north of $30 million for Garrett Cole, but. You know, my sense is that the teams like the Yankees and maybe even the Angels they reached a threshold, or they've thrown out numbers that have surpassed a threshold that the Rangers would be willing to pursue. And, you know, Strasburg's an interesting one because, yeah, he was awesome this year and he was outstanding in the postseason. And if you look at his overall numbers, they're good, but there have just been health questions with him. And, you know, I think the thought with Strasburg at times, and he kind of shocked people, I think, to some degree this year, is that he's one of these guys, and Mike, I'm sure you played with guys like this. I think at times people thought Yu Darvish was like this, that he needed to be totally healthy for his mind to be right and for him to have success. And whether that's all of a sudden struggling because your fingernail's sore or not wanting to pitch because you just feel like a little this or a little that, that was kind of the reputation for Strasburg. He sort of went the other way this year, and I wonder if some teams are having a tough time evaluating or assessing what exactly he is. I don't think there's anybody who will deny that he's one of the most talented pitchers in Major League Baseball, but is he a $32 million a year guy? Is he a $30 million a year guy, $28 million? I think there's going to be a wider range of discrepancy for him than for a guy like Gerrit Cole, who's also a north of $30 million caliber pitcher.
Well, Jared, your prediction of the Rangers signing Anthony Rendon just made me Rangers horny in December, which I don't know the last time that happened. Let's say they pull that off.
Zach Greinke, when we were going to trade for him last
Shut
year
up,
at
Mike.
This time.
Shut up. It's my baseball nuggets. You talk when spoken to. If they get Rendon and they've signed Kyle Gibson, it's a lot of money for a team that hasn't been spending a ton of money lately. Would they be done, or what else would they be looking to do over the course of the winter?
No, I don't think they'd be done. You know, we spoke with John Daniels today, and he said that, you know, it could play out that Kyle Gibson is their best free agent acquisition on the mound, but that's not their intention. And you know, I guess you got to group free agency in with the trade market. One thing JD said, and you know, he's not a surprise, he's not going to go into details, but he said that they're having lots of conversations, you know, for trades, more so than in years past. And you know, you never know if something's going to get done and this team signs this free agent, so all of a sudden this trade's not even a possibility or this or that. You know, so many moving parts and pieces, but it seems like the Rangers are very much in the mix on both fronts, free agent acquisitions and on the trade front. I think their hope is that Kyle Gibson is not their only addition on the mound. They're more likely to pursue a right-handed starter than a left-handed starter, but you know, I don't think they would just say no to any left-handed option. But all things being equal, I think they'd go with a right-handed starter. And, you know, I think that's in part because they are very lefty-heavy, especially on the youth side of things. And also because, and Mike brought this up very well during or right before the postseason, your two biggest competitors.
Good, go ahead.
The Astros struggle with righty power arms and against righty power arms, and the A's don't really do too well against righty power arms either. And so I think that's another reason why maybe it would make sense for the Rangers to pursue a righty over a lefty if, you know, if all things are equal.
Mike, I want you to know that you may speak again during my baseball nuggets.
Okay, good. I want to ask you here, Sandler. John Daniels let the left-handed plethora of corner outfield DH situation play out the whole 2019 season. And it's fine. It was kind of a year of seeing what the Rangers have, don't have, where they could go and not go. Over the next week or so, while they're all in San Diego talking, do you think somebody like a Nomar Mazara or Chu, I'm just kind of naming lefties that maybe the Rangers would like to move to free up time for Willie Calhoun or Nick Solak or Joey Gallo going to right field, that they could move those guys and get those guys more playing time? Do you assume those guys or one of them will be traded this week or during the offseason?
I do think that if I had to guess, Nomar Mazara is not a part of the outfield mix this year. Now, I'd say 87% of that confidence is that he's moved, and then 13% is that he's moved at organizations, and then 13% is that he's moved to first base. What I'm confident about, whether it's Nomar or someone else, that they're not going to go to spring training with this whole situation as is. They're going to make moves to clear an outfield logjam. They're not going to turn a source of depth into, you know, a source of a lack of depth. I don't think they're going to move multiple guys, but you know, all it takes is moving one of these guys, and it just creates an opening. Now, you know, you made a comment, and I know you know this, but just in case there's some uncertainty, because I've been asked this a lot this offseason, you said, will they clear space for Willie Calhoun? I think at this point, to be honest with you, it's more about clearing space for Nomar Mazara, and I don't know that they will because or will be able to. Willie Calhoun's going to be in there every day, and
so you
since
feel like Willie will be left
there,
fielder. Sorry for interrupting.
I think left fielder or DH, and I think that's where, you know. Let's say they move Mazara, then you got Joey probably in right. You probably got Willie in left, and or Chu in left, and Willie in DH. If they can move a second guy, then I think that Nick Solak might become your left fielder. And that would allow, let's say they move Chu and Mazzara, then Gallo's your right fielder, Solak's your left fielder, and Calhoun's your DH. And I still ultimately think that Solak's best fit is in left field, but that's not to say he won't get chances at third. I know a lot of people are asking about second. I don't get a sense that they're going to have an opening day second baseman not named Rougned Odor. That doesn't mean he lasts the whole year. If he has another slow start, I think the Rangers would be prepared to just totally cut bait. But I do think that Rougie will be the opening day second baseman. And I think that's only the case because of the way he finished the season over the last 6 to 8 weeks. Otherwise, I think we'd be talking about a different second baseman for 2020.
Last Ranger question, and it's just prediction. Do you think 5 for $175 for Rendon is fair and will do it? That's 35 a year over 5 years, or 6 for $200, which would be 33.3. Do you think those offers would win the Rendon sweepstakes for the Rangers?
If he didn't want or need the seventh year, which I think you talked about the other day, he's a different cat. You know, he might not be someone who wants to play until he's 40. He might not want to sign a seven-year deal. Then yes, I think those do get it done. If it's a 7-year deal, I think you probably got to get to 31 or 32 a year, to get the job done. But if you're going to go 5 or 6, then yeah, I think those numbers do. And the 5-year deal is really interesting. I mean, there are not a lot of guys who, would settle for that. And, you know, I'm sure Scott Boras wants him to push, or is pushing him for 6 and 7 years. But, you know, from what I've heard, from what I know you've heard, he's not a guy who wants to, you know, die on the baseball field, so to speak. He's a guy who, you know, puts in his time, makes his money, and then, all right, hey, see you later. I'm going to go disappear, and you might not hear from me ever again. And so, you know, that could play towards a shorter deal but more money annually.
Well, Sandler, before we get back to the Cowboys, because they deserve all our attention and all our focus because they've done so much for this community and organization and everything that they've done, tell us about Sunday real quick, because we're only at $1,400 at our bay.
Yeah, I mean, so call in 877-881-1053. You'll get a chance to play with Mike, Gavin, Jeff, Lucius will be there, and then you'll get Darren Oliver and Taylor Hearn. Plus, there are going to be a ton of celebrities there, Drew Pearson, Michael Young, Joey Gallo, just to name a few. So you'll get to hang out with all these people. The money goes towards kids with disabilities, physical and intellectual, and some of the work we're trying to do to support them. And it's just a fun night. I mean, you guys have been there. It's sold out. The only way you can get in is by bidding on a bay and by wanting to or joining you guys there at Topgolf in the Colony. Their TVs, the Cowboys aren't playing, obviously, but you can watch all the other football games. And, yeah, it's going to be a great time. So get those calls in. The bidding ends at 6 o'clock. So with an hour left in the show, the bidding ends. So you've got another 2 hours or so. And I got to ask you guys, has my phone connection been better than Stephen Jones's phone connection?
Yes.
Yes, much.
Okay, because I don't win those battles very often, so I just had to make sure.
Well done, Sands. We appreciate you as always. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, fellas. See ya.
There he goes. He's Jared Sandler. And yes, 877-881-1053. Sean and RJ essentially doubled us up. So if you can throw down $2,000 to golf with us, and, you know, we're going to have Darren Oliver there. It's going to be at a
Taylor Hearn, yeah. Free drink, free food in our bay for 4 hours to hit golf balls, talk to us. And if you want me to be optimistic, I'll even, for $2,000, I'll be optimistic about the Cowboys.
Impossible.
Or I will tell you the real thing that I believe in the Dallas Cowboys organization.
Whichever you prefer. Now, if they go to $2,000, are you willing to do a couple of autographed baseballs for them?
I will.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's very generous of you.
Only two.
That's very generous.
When you say a couple,
yeah, hey,
I just want to make sure people know two.
Protect your brand, bro.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
They're going for $1.75 on eBay.
We're live here at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield. Come on by. You can get an autograph from Mike or a Tolo back window decal or some awesome fellowship. But coming up next, we got to go to Cowboys game day audio. Zeke tries to put his finger on it. Did you hear what Brett Maher had to say afterwards and more? Game day audio next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.